The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Alive and well after visiting Los Angeles. I learned some new Italian, not dirty words. I learned clean words. I learned a phrase called senza fine. Senza fine. Italian friend of mine said we no longer say senciano, which means may you live to 100 years, which you've probably seen in every mafia movie going back to the 1960s when they're eating in a restaurant. But since I don't know anyone in that side of the business, I only know the good people. He says to me, we say senza fine. That's my friend Robert Davi, an actor who you've probably seen in 100 movies. He played bad guys. He plays cops. You want to hear something funny? I'll tell you in a minute. Let me get to the news first. This is all on michaelsavage.com. Top left, there's our first lady on your dime visiting South Africa to visit Nelson Mandela. That's right. The first lady, her mother, Mrs. Robinson, I don't know what she's doing on every trip. Does she pay for her seat on the plane? How does this work? Are you allowed to take your mother-in-law everywhere and your children on the company dime, meaning your dime? What is she doing traveling to Africa? And where is the president? Anyway, she's visiting Nelson Mandela, and they're reading a book together. I don't know whether it's the complete works of Carl, and of course I'm referring to Carl's Jr. on how to make a better hamburger. Because that's something she's very interested in. She lectures us on carrots and broccoli and asparagus, and every time she appears somewhere, she's eating barbecued ribs or something along those lines. You know, let them eat cake. But the real big story on my website is Huma's mother in Muslim Brotherhood and her brothers in Al-Qaeda. Huma Abedin is the wife of the disgraced Anthony Weiner. And it turns out that according to Waleed Shobat, a former member of the PLO, Mrs. Weiner, Huma Abedin, the deputy chief of staff to none other than Hillary Clinton, is reported as a member of the Muslim Brotherhood. Did Western media miss what has been revealed in several Arab newspapers, which remain secret in American government circles? So in other words, we the people know something that Dianne Feinstein, the chairman of the Senate on the Senate, whatever she's on, the Senate Shopping Cart Committee, Dianne Feinstein is the chairman of the Senate Business with China Community to make sure that her husband, Richard, gets the best contracts, the juiciest ones first, according to some who don't like her. But then we shouldn't even mention that, should we? Because she's so powerful, God knows what might happen. Next on my website is Kerry Ann McPain. You knew him as John Mc... whatever. I've given him an affectionate new name, John McPain, because he's a pain in the you-know-what. Kerry and John McPain want to authorize Obama's illegal Libya war. When will this old fool finally disappear from the world stage? When in the world will John McPain stop plaguing the world is the question. There's other great stories on my website. I know you only want to hear about my visit to Los Angeles, the dinner in the Italian restaurant. That's all anyone wants to know is where'd you eat? That's all. That's what it comes down to. I told you that. It was really amazing food because I said, let me explain what happened. Then I'll get back to the news, which is a somewhat important to realize that Hillary Clinton's chief aide is related to the Muslim sisterhood. But you don't want to know that. After all, she's a good woman. She's a good woman. She's a long-suffering woman. She's entitled to be in the Muslim sisterhood. You know, as a deep plant working in the State Department, what could be better? In U.S., 22% are hesitant to support a Mormon. 22% are hesitant to support a Mormon. Imagine the bigotry against Mormons. There's almost no bigotry against Catholics, no bigotry left against Jews, according to this poll. But there remains a whopping bigotry against Mormons. Can you believe this? No bigotry against blacks, women, Catholics, and Jews, but tremendous bigotry against Mormons. How did this happen? I guess it's because we have a Mormon candidate who's doing well named Mitt Romney. It just shows you the kind of prejudice there is against people like him. I mean, look, if it's him versus Obama, I take him, but he's not the best candidate. I'll take Rick Perry of Texas, who I must admit on the show made me a member of the Texas Navy. I have a large plaque on my boat which says Michael Savage is an admiral in the Texas Navy, so I'm biased towards Rick Perry. I also like most of his politics. So anyway, I go to L.A. for Father's Day, okay? No planning, last minute, up, down, I go. That morning, Saturday morning, out of the blue, hadn't heard from this fellow for 2 years. We had communicated. This actor, Robert Davi, who I don't know him, but we communicated by email, sends me an email. He says, when are you next in L.A.? Please download this song. I'm appearing in the Venetian this August, and I'm singing Frank Sinatra tunes. So I said, I'm in L.A., blah, blah, blah. So I say, hey, Robert, let's get together for dinner. Pick your favorite Italian restaurant. Bring your friends, and I'll bring my family. So that night, we go to dinner in a place in Beverly Hills. I don't remember the name of it. Truthfully, it's his friend. The guy was great. He was like one of these stocky, short, built like an oak tree type of guys. Loved food, as opposed to people who own restaurants who don't like people and don't like food. This guy loved food. So I said to him, you know what? I don't know what I want to order. Just, you know what? I'll tell you what. Put the menus away. I'll bring the food out. I said, one thing, make sure that I don't get anything with the dairy in it. I don't want butter. I don't want cream, blah, blah, blah. So he made me a pizza, no cheese, thin crust. That was the least of it. He made other stuff that was amazing. I don't even know how to define it, but I know the difference between cuisine and food. And that was what I had. But the laughter and the fun. Yeah, I don't know why. I don't go out with normal people. The reason I have no friends is because I can't talk to normal people. Normal people, as good as they may be, are somewhat predictable in how they react, which is no reaction whatsoever. Normal people want you to perform and they want to listen. Normal people want you to entertain them and they give you nothing back. It's a one-way street. There's no continuum. You talk, they say nothing. They stare at you, or they laugh, or whatever. An actor or an entertainer will respond to you and also send out energy, and you get it. So there's a rotation. There's a continuum. There's a cycling of energy. It's something you have to understand, unless you don't understand it, which is why it's me and the dog these days. Wonderful night. Nothing else to report other than it was good. Then I couldn't wait to get home. L.A. was cold for the first 3 days, which I love, wearing winter clothing. And then we got hit with the heat wave that just hit the West Coast yesterday. A nightmare. Nightmare. And I'm plagued by skunks again. 2-3 nights in a row you could die. I would like to kill every skunk on earth. Why did God create skunks? I'll never understand. And where I live in the San Francisco Bay Area, the people are so foolish, such idiots, that the skunk is considered a sacred animal. It's like the sacred cow in India, the skunk. You're not allowed to round them up and kill them or take them somewhere else. I like to release them in San Francisco. If I could, I'd have a trapper grab every skunk in Marin County and release them in San Francisco so they could poison the bicyclists who poison the streets with their bicycles. I'd release them in City Hall so they could drive the real skunks out of City Hall. No calls already. Dead in the water. One call. It makes sense that whom was a foreign agent. I don't really want to talk about that. I'd rather talk about pizza with anchovies, to be honest with you. Here's a few more news stories. It's summertime. The living is easy. Hey, could you get summertime and living is easy? Oh, so Robert says to me, the next time you're in L.A., here's what he said. That's what I remember now. I was drinking a little too much. I forgot everything we talked about. He said to me, the next time you're in L.A., you've got to come visit me when I'm rehearsing with my voice coach, who was also Barbara Streisand's voice coach. And I said, you know, a lot of people say I should take up singing. So I start singing at the table. He loved my voice. I happen to have a very good voice, but I've never trained it. You know what I'm saying? I'd like to become a lounge act in Las Vegas, in a seedy hotel in Las Vegas. No, I don't want I want a seedy hotel. I have no aspirations for something bigger. So anyway, I'm going to take up singing one of these days and really use what God gave me best, which is the song. Because that'll bring out the song in my heart. You know, it's boring talking about politics every day. Who do you think I am, Sean Hannity and Rush Limbaugh? You think I can fake this every day? I mean, when I talk about a story, I talk about a story. I mean, I don't have blackboards here. You understand? If I had blackboards, oh, hey, then you'd be on top of the world. I could start my own TV network with blackboards. So one of the other guests at the table said, whatever happened to Glenn Beck? He started out seemingly reasonable, and then he wound up with those blackboards. He said he lost his audience. I said, no kidding. I said, how much can you take of this guy with the blackboards? Dairy, best part of Italian. Can I speak to my call screener? Stop with the callers I don't want. I don't care what Jim thinks about dairy is the best part of Italian. Why would you give me a caller like that? You want to get me mad? Hey, Beowulf, you better get on top of the call screener today, please. I can't take it. I'm in a schwitz already. I'm sweating already from the scalp down to the soles of my feet from one bad caller on the screen. I don't care what you think about Italian food. This is my show. If you like dairy, go eat it and get arthritis. Go eat it and grow udders. Go eat it and have bacon. I don't like dairy. Of course it's delicious. Ice cream is delicious, too. But I'm not Michelle Obama. I'm not willing to go to an early grave by eating ice cream, the world's worst food. Gingrich's money team jumped ship. Nah. Thank God they finally caught on to the GOPAC tick, which I wrote about in Political Zoo. Not available. Not trying to sell you a book. Gingrich's money team jumped ship. You know why? He was spending so extravagantly for him and his old lady on airplanes and travel. Who did he think he's fooling? Newt Gingrich, John McCain, what they are is old white wall tires that have had to retread once. You cannot retread a tire twice. You could retread Gingrich once. You cannot put another set of treads on that tire, okay? It's the same with McCain. That guy's been retread so many times, he's starting to look like a lizard's underbelly. Just made that up. It sounded good. That's something you might hear in a movie and think that was cute by, like, Billy Bob Thornton. Right? You know what I hate about movies where they have fake Southern accents? All these lowlifes from Hollywood, they take, like, a voice coach and they, like, try to do Southern. They just, like, you know, they sound like white trash porn stars, and they think that passes for a Southern accent. Who teaches them that? It's other people from New York, from NYU, who think that they know what a Southern accent sounds like. They all sound the same. Every movie's like Billy Bob Thornton's underwear. What else is in the news here? I'm warming up. I may go to his show, by the way, at the Venetian Hotel, although I hate traveling, detest it. Hate it. Oh, so at the end of the meal, he says to me, senza fine. I said, what? He says, yeah, the normal Italian for the end of, you know, like Cinzano, you heard that, right? Yeah, you live 100 years. You've seen it in every mafia movie. Oh, Cinzano. So every dentist from Staten Island wants to be a semi, you know, they all like put on the, and they put on the jewelry. They go out to Las Vegas. They all make believe that they got a dental practice in Woodhaven. At Cinzano. They think the waiter thinks they're somebody special. He said, we don't say that. We say, sen genza fine, which means without end. It's Sicilian. He tried to explain the difference to me between Sicilian and Italian. It's an amazing difference. Now, you don't know that Sicily was conquered 7 or 8 times by various and sundry conquerors, which explains why there are red-haired Sicilians from the conquest by the Vikings and things of that nature, why so many Sicilians have dark skins from the Arabic invasion. And when you realize that Sicily, as proud as the people are and as tough as they are, were conquered 7 or 8 times through history, do you understand that this country is being conquered right now, right in front of your eyes? Do you understand America is being conquered right now? And that your leaders are like the American Indian chiefs who sold their tribes out for bottles of Kickapoo joy juice and some repeating rifles. I'll be right back. Savage. Version, knock it off. I don't want this. Isn't there one with Louis Armstrong, Summertime and a Living is Easy, or a male voice? I'm nothing against women, but I don't want to hear that. Hey, Mike, why don't you eat cheese? Eat your man? A real man eats cheese. What kind of Italian food you eat? No cheese, huh? Ooh, ay. What is it? Muslim escapes jail by remaining behind burqa. Isn't multiculturalism great, what you can get away with under the guise of religion? Come into a fine country, have 16 children, go on welfare, teach your children to set off bombs and say that you're a religion of peace, then wear a burqa when you go for a driver's license, and if someone complains, hire the ACLU. See, this is what, when Sicily was conquered, it was much more direct. They came with swords, pikes, and arrows, burnt cities to the ground. They don't have to do that today. Just come in, you know, you wear the hood, the Ku Klux Klan outfit in reverse. What a story. Muslim woman Carnitha Matthews escapes jail by remaining behind a burqa. Oh, yeah, out of Sydney, Australia. You don't want to read that, though. No. She has driving offenses and a history of not paying her fines, but she wears the old burqa. And she's a convert, too, by the way. They love the burqa. Why are the converts so in love with the burqa? I mean, real Muslim women don't like the burqa, but the converts can't get enough of it. That's a big thing. It's very fashionable now. By the way, Islam is the new Buddhism. I came up with that over the weekend. I was thinking. Remember there was a big phase in America where all of the libs became Buddhists, ex-Jews, ex-Catholics? Suddenly they thought they were holy with their hands together. They became Buddhists. They knew about as much about Buddhism as my dog did. Real Buddhists laugh at the fake Buddhists, by the way. Everything to a fake Buddhist is holy with their hands together. That's not the way it works. But that's typical mock Buddhism. So now the very same mentality that went from Catholicism to Buddhism and Judaism to Buddhism, now the big thing is to go to Islam. Oh, they're holy now. They find peace. They discovered Islam. The sister-in-law of Tony Blair, the ex-prime minister of England, is a well-known convert to Islam. She said she found total peace as a Muslim. Did you hear this one? Can you believe what's going on in England? I heard a little story that one of the royals is a little convert, too. One of the greatest hidden stories in England you're not supposed to talk about. I think you can pretty much guess who it is. You know, I could give you a little poem and an allegory about it, but I'm already banned in England. I mean, let's not go there. But that explains why I'm banned in England. You understand how that worked? It's no longer England. It's Saudi Arabia, England.
All the stories have been told of kings in days of old, but there's no England now. All the wars that were won or lost,
don't seem to matter very Saudi much Britannia. Anymore. Saudi Britannia, I named it. You've heard it first in the Savage Nation. Who will steal it first? Which blogger in America wearing pajamas will steal it first and take it as their own? Saudi Britannia. That's what I was searching for. I couldn't think of a name for it. The woman wears a burqa. She accuses the cop who pulls her over, this is in Australia, of being a racist who tried to pull her burqa off, which was a lie. They caught it on cameras. She's a drunk driver repeatedly. The judge dismisses the case, saying because she's wearing a burqa, she wouldn't take it off for the cop or anyone else. They don't know if it was really her who was pulled over. Can you believe how they're bending over backwards for Muslims in England, in Australia, in America? Can you believe how they're pulling the wool over our eyes? How stupid can a country be? How dumb can a country be? You know, I got to, with all of the faults of France, you got to give them credit. They're the first Western nation to recognize the racket called the burqa, and they banned it completely. They banned it. You think that these ballless Republicans will ever issue a law like that? John McCain would ever do that? Oh, my God. It's unbelievable to me. Atheists want sign honoring 9/11 firefighters removed. I'll tell you what I would do if I were a firefighter and I got my hands on the atheists. I mean, fire hoses, and that's to put a fire out. They want to take down a sign, atheist. See, you let these, you don't understand something. Our weakness, the greatest weakness in the West, are the very liberal laws that permit vermin like this, the atheists and the others, to use their game to game us. So what you do is you tighten up the laws. You say no burqas, that's it, you don't like it, then live in a country where there's burqas. Go where your brethren are, where you'll feel comfortable walking around looking like a 15th century throwback. Go ahead. You don't like it here? Get out. Get out. Take it. Take a walk. We don't wear that kind of throwback outfit in a Western nation. It's an affront to free people. Get out of the country. France just did that. That's all. Liberal France did it, but not America, not stupid America. Here they ban Mormons. What is she doing in South Africa? I'm outraged by her travel at the cost of this woman burning up money like this on Air Force One or Two with her daughter, her mother, an entourage of 100 servants, and she goes there and tells her she's on a Goodwill tour. Let her go on her own money. Listen to clip 18 of the First Lady in Africa.
Michelle Obama is overseas on her biggest solo foreign trip so far. This one, a trip to Africa. Actually, all the Obama women are on this trip. The First Lady is traveling with her mother and with both daughters.
Okay, Brian, do they pay for their way? Let's say Michelle Obama can game the system and get a vacation saying it's business. All right. But what about her mother, Mrs. Robinson, on every trip? Doesn't she have to pay the equivalent fare? Like even first class fare, let's say, $1,200. And the daughter, she doesn't have to pay either? Ooh, you can't say that. What if, listen to clip 20 now. Listen to this insult.
Michelle Obama and her daughters touched down in Pretoria this evening. She is on a mission of diplomacy and goodwill. Uh-huh. America's first African-American First Lady visiting her ancestral homeland.
Ooh, her ancestral homeland. That sounds good, doesn't it? Doesn't that sound way cool, ancestral homeland? Ancestral, you mean she's from South Africa? Is Michelle Obama, did she originate in South Africa? I didn't know that. And even if she did, so what? Now, what if we had George Bush taking a trip to wherever he came from? I would assume that the Bush family, Preston, Senator, do we know where they're from? English or English, England or Irish? England, a little mixture, let's say. So what if George Bush had gone to England or Ireland and said he was going there to visit his ancestral homeland? There would have been such an uproar. How dare you travel? There's so much unemployment in America and Air Force. That's costing $17,000 a second. And you eat all of those sausages. Blah, 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 blah. Ancestral homeland. Unbelievable what a racket this is. What do you mean ancestral homeland? How does Michelle Obama know exactly where she's from? What do you mean ancestral homeland? Can somebody explain this to me? Can an African-American listener explain to me how she knows which country in Africa she's from? I'd like to know the answer to that. And even if she does know it, why does she have a right to travel there at my expense when half the people are out of jobs in this country? I'm getting a sore throat. I'm not accepting this. Robert in New York on WOR. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Doc Savage. My wife and I have been married for 15 years, and we're having our first child, and I was wondering if there's any pearls of wisdom you can pass on to me.
Well, it's not easy, number one. How old are you?
I'm 35. My wife is 34. Yes, we got married very young.
You know, I was saying, you know, that's already, you're in the realm of first child in the first few years of marriage, so it's not like you're one of these ponytailed, bald guys from Mill Valley, California, having a child who's going to change their diaper on the table in the restaurant type.
I'm probably the opposite of that.
Yeah, how many restaurants I've gone to with the liberal 55-year-old with the wife that they had a little implant at the fertility clinic, and their baby suddenly is the most... Every baby on earth, the billions before it never existed. You go in the restaurant, there's the child screaming, and they change a diaper on the table while you're eating next to them. I've seen that 1,000 times. Mr. Ponytail ACLU. And look at him wrong. Oh, he calls the police. So what's the question for me?
My question to you is there any...
I tell you there is. The most important thing is the nutrition for your wife. I almost said your mother because wife and mother to me are like the same verb. Nutrition for the pregnant woman is extremely important, and most pregnant women have no idea what to eat. When I was a nutrition doctor in a clinic in San Francisco in 1981, one of the managers of the clinic got pregnant. She was in her mid-30s. She lost all of her teeth because, you may not know this, in the placenta, the way nature sets it up, the developing fetus gets all of the best nutrients first. You can imagine why, so that it grows, right? So the woman was not replenishing her calcium, and the baby took all the calcium from her system for the development of the baby's bones and teeth. She lost her teeth. This is an important story because most women are not even told how to supplement themselves or what to eat during pregnancy. It's like idiocy in this country. Idiocy. Then you've got postpartum depression, which is related directly to a loss of nutrients. You know, when a woman gives birth to a baby, this is a major event in that woman's biological life. It's a monster physiological stress on the woman. Men could never bear the pain, number one, of childbirth. You know, we think we're tough, but the reason they outlive us is they're much tougher than us. Take a look at childbirth. A man gets a hemorrhoid, he screams and runs to the doctor. So in addition to the trauma of childbirth, you then have, she's depleted of nutrients, she's exhausted, and the foolish obstetrician, pediatrician has no idea to tell her to replenish the nutrients that were basically depleted from her stores. I can send you a free copy of Healing Children Naturally. I'd rather you just go and look for it on michaelsavage.com. Not that I need the $20. It's probably the best investment you'll make in your life. I covered this 20 years ago, by the way. Nothing's changed. The doctors still don't tell the parents what to do, and they don't tell you how to feed your child either. That's why the children wind up on drugs by the time they're 3 years old. Now, emotionally, Robert, you've got to understand something else, really. I mean, I'm getting into this whole thing now. I do have a lot to say on this. The father is usually aced out of the family when the baby comes along. Are you ready for that?
Yes, sir.
No, I'm laying it on the line. It's the way of nature. The woman doesn't have time for you when she just gave birth. She's been traumatized, ripped to shreds. She has the baby next door. She's got one job on earth, which is to make sure that helpless little ball of protoplasm doesn't die and that it thrives. She could care less about the hairy monster with a beard running around in the bedroom with such need.
I can guarantee you we're ready for that. As I said, we were married.
All right, I'm trying to be a little comedic in the political arena, in the physiologic arena. So you've got to understand that's, you know, what she's going to do for a while. I don't mean sexuality necessarily is the only issue. Emotionally, she's going to give the baby much more than you're probably ready for, because she has to. And the father is kind of after birth. The father has postpartum blues and doesn't even know it, because today, more so than ever, it really is our pregnancy. The woman bears the pain of it, but the father also goes through the pregnancy more so today than ever before. And when that child is born, he feels a tremendous sense of joy and upliftingness, but he also feels a tremendous sense of exhaustion at the end of that process as well, Robert. And I don't think most men understand that. And they do the typical jock thing, you know, they slap you on the back and take you for a drink. No one knows what to do. But you yourself need some TLC after that birth. You know that?
I'm expecting that. I know.
You got to prepare for it as well. So please look at Healing Children Naturally. It's the best single manual ever written on this subject. It's on michaelsavage.com, somewhere on the left side. I never pushed the book. I didn't write it for money. 1-800-409-825 by michaelsavage.com. So we're going from Michelle Obama's trip to Africa, Huma's mother in Muslim Brotherhood. John Kerry and John McCain want to authorize Obama's illegal Libya war to the birth of children. And I do know a lot of things. Remember, I had a Chinese caller about 2 months ago, right? An older Chinese gentleman, and he spoke. He said, "You're like Confucius, like an ancient scholar." He said, "You can talk about so many topics with such wonderful knowledge. And then you go into poetry and nature." And I never forget that call, because it's calls like that that make my whole life on radio different, by the way. 1-800-449-8205. Let's go to John McCain talking about how good war is and how suddenly John McCain wants war and he's joining John Kerry. Listen to clip 22, John McCain.
If we do not continue this effort in Libya, if Gaddafi remains in power, it could have profound consequences.
What are they, dummy? Dummy, what are the profound consequences? What, Dianne Feinstein didn't tell you the rest of the sentence? You didn't get your script from Hillary Clinton on what the bad consequences are? John Dummy McCain? What is he talking about? The people, look, as bad as Gaddafi is, he's fighting the Muslim Brotherhood takeover, which will be far worse. There's a whole arc of evil developing in the Middle East. The entire arc of evil is being developed because of a gigantic mistake by Hillary Clinton and the stupid women who surround her. I'll be right back.
Savage.
So I already sang my heart out. I gave you everything and nothing. Again, the same kind of call as, "Hey, Mike, eat cheese." What's going on with Greece? I thought they were rioting because they couldn't continue to smoke and eat and not work. What do they want from me in Greece? There's no, I don't blame them. I mean, they don't like to work, that's for sure. After Aristotle, it was nothing. It was the end of they gave us Plato, they gave us Aristotle, they gave us the Parthenon, and that was the end of it. Empires come and go. Theirs went. It set sail a few thousand years ago, you know what I mean? So there's nothing left there. What, black olives and feta cheese? I wish they have nothing to do over there. They want everyone to pay for their vacations to Serbia in the summer or wherever they go. Where do they go? Mallorca? They go have the calamari in Mallorca? I love those British movies. They like to go to Mallorca to get the calamari. Get the calamari in Mallorca. I lived in Mallorca. I didn't like the place. Rocky beaches, horrible. The Mediterranean has horrendous beaches. Best beaches in the world are in the Caribbean. Don't tell me about Phuket in Thailand. I'm not oriented that way. No one goes to Phuket in Thailand for the beach, all right? We know what you go for. Okay? I don't like Thailand. I almost got food poisoning. I almost died there from a bad chicken dinner. I was close. I'll never go to Asia again as long as I live. X through Asia. I may not go anywhere again, but Asia's definitely on the top of the list. Never again. I almost died twice in my life from food. Once in Japan, chicken, and then a second time in Chiang Mai province up in northern Thailand, almost died. So hallucinations, the fever was so high. Laying in the hotel room, like talking to myself with like blue figures running around inside the ceiling. I turned white. I was near death. They wanted to take me to a hospital. Mrs. S. said over my dead body. She said, they'll take his kidneys out. She was afraid they removed the kidneys and sell them on the open market. You really want a Thai doctor to take care of you? Are you kidding me? In Chiang Mai province? Yeah, put them on the gurney. We'll send back the whatever's left over. Whatever we have left over, we'll send back to you in a few days. So I got through it. You know the first food I wanted after that food poisoning bout? You'll never believe it. I craved it, pizza. My favorite food. I wish there was like a drug you could take, an anti-pizza drug. It's my weakness, my downfall, pizza and beer. I know I said I don't eat cheese. All right, so once in a while I eat it, so the hands don't work. But he made me in L.A., he made me pizza with no cheese. He heard it 1 second. I said, 1 minute, no cheese. He was able to make Italian cuisine without cheese. He didn't need to do the cheap Italian food, which every Italian food is cheap. They coat with sugar, salt, pepper, and cheese. That's not cuisine. That's absurd. You don't need that garbage on your food. That's the mark of bad food. You want to eat cuisine? Then eliminate the salt, the pepper, and the cheese and the dairy and see what the food really is. What do you think they coat it with all that garbage for? You don't know what you're eating. I love these cooking shows. Here we are living in 2011. I used to like American Home Kitchen. I like that skinny guy. He reminds me of Don Knox on PBS. But every dish they make, her secret ingredient is a handful of salt, a handful of pepper, and ooh, real cream. Wow, that's so good for the arteries. How'd you come up with that? How'd you come up with that menu in 2011? That's real American cuisine. That's from like the Eisenhower years when men were dying at 47 from smoking pell-mell and eating food like that. I mean, you think somebody learned something. That's PBS for you today. That's their idea of a cooking show. Nothing. They learn no evolution. It's like the First Lady. Lecture you on carrots and plants asparagus, and every time you look, she's eating barbecued ribs or ice cream. Every meal, ice cream, ribs, fat meat, and she tells you to eat, let them eat carrots. I cannot take the hypocrisy anymore. I can't. I hate it. I've never seen such hypocrites in my life as these two. Barack and Michelle have trashed the presidency and the White House. And I'll tell you, I'm not alone on this. I am not alone on this. Everybody knows what they've done. Everybody in this country knows, except the morons who watch MSNBC. The perverts who watch MSNBC. The perverts who work for Phil Griffin. Okay? The perverts who work for Phil Griffin. You need a few pills, Griffin. That's what you need. Well, how do they get away with this? How does Phil Griffin let those people stay on the air on MSNBC? When are they going to throw his butt out for having destroyed MSNBC with these perverted left-wing fanatics? New York, WOR. Barry, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Dr. Savage, I listen to your show all the time.
I don't blame you. Truthfully, if I wasn't on the air, I would search for someone like me.
I think you're great.
Great, I don't know, but I'm good at what I'm not great, but I'm good at what I do. What's on your mind today?
Well, you wanted a male sung version of Summertime.
I really didn't ask for it. No, I really didn't want it. No, but oh, you mean like a recorded version? I can. So you can do that for us on the air?
I can do that for you right now and give.
Go ahead, fire away, so I don't burn up the rest of the hour. Go ahead, start singing.
Summertime, and the living is easy.
Not bad. Yeah,
it's
go.
Jumping, and the cotton is high.
All right.
Your daddy's rich, and your mom is good looking.
Please, my father and mother are deceased. You shouldn't say those things about them. Where'd you learn to sing? Where'd you learn to sing like that, Barry? That's pretty damn good.
Well, thanks a lot. I was trained by one of the understudies of Pavarotti.
That's amazing. Amazing. You know, because the actor I was mentioning said he was trained in, his parents were poor Italians, but they spent all their money on him and they sent him to school to learn how to sing opera. Would you believe it?
I believe it.
Because in those days before the lowlifes of Jersey Shore arrived, you see on Sopranos, the lowest of the low, before the vermin took over the Italian people, you had poor Italians who had culture. Do you understand the difference of what happened in this country?
Yes.
The vermin, they walk around with hair on their chest and big muscles. You know what they look like? Dinosaurs.
I know what you mean.
Dinosaurs. Where's the culture? Where's the Italian culture? Who needs these lowlifes from Jersey Shore? Sopranos. Anthony Weiner is to the Jews what the Sopranos is to the Italians. He gives the Jews the same name the Sopranos give the Italians. Do you agree with that?
Anytime you need a...
Anthony Weiner did to the Jews what the Godfather did to the Italians. Ruined the Jewish people's reputation for the next 100 years. Between Bernie Madoff and Anthony Weiner, there's almost no coming back from it, what he did to the people. But not one rabbi in the country would dare say a word. Oh, don't say that. No, don't say that.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Summertime. Horrible version. I didn't want to hear it, but all right, it's all we had. 1-9-4. We have callers who heard my brilliant first hour, and I'd rather not repeat what we've been talking about. I came up with a new phrase, which will be stolen, possibly already stolen. So check the blogs to see if the phrase Saudi Britannia has been stolen by a blogger yet. If not, I'm sure you'll hear it tomorrow morning on the Golfer Show, or perhaps a little later on Wallbanger Show. Perhaps if it hasn't been stolen by them, Blackboard will have it in the afternoon. But the point is, other than that, I talked about Michelle Obama's visit to Africa, to her ancestral homeland, which I find to be curious in the sense that how does she know which country in Africa her ancestors came from? I'd like to know if there's a... Number two, should I be paying for that? And number three, isn't it enough travel already? Number four, how does she get away with it? Number five, who pays for her mother and her mother on every trip? Number six... 1-800-449-8255. Number seven, michaelsavage.com. Number eight, no cheese. Number nine, the Italian people. In my generation, they were poor, but they understood culture. There was hardly an Italian I knew who did not understand opera. They sang opera. They went to opera. They talked about opera. Take a look at what they became today with the dirt balls. You hear this Jersey Shore, that's the new Italian. Anthony Weiner is the new Jew. Jersey Shore is the new Italian. Salk to Bernie Madoff. How do we go from Jonas Salk to Anthony Weiner? How do we go from, let's go back, Mario Lanza to the grease ball on Jersey Shore? How does this happen? How does the country degenerate like this? Well, even amongst ethnic groups, you see a collapse and a degeneration of the symbols of the ethnicity. How is this possible? Chicago, Matt, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, Dr. Savage, what a pleasure it is to speak with you. I got to tell you, one of the reasons I love listening to you is some of your brilliant insight into life issues. You had said something earlier that I'd never heard anybody else say. You used the term wife and mother, and you called them verbs, which I couldn't agree more.
Absolutely. See, you caught that. You understood that they are verbs.
They are absolutely verbs. I have six children, five of which God is continuing to allow us to raise here. One we believe and hope is in God's presence, and we adopted our bottom two. They're African American, and you know we have these people you know chiding us and saying, you know, what about their biological mother? What about their biological father? You know, it occurred to me that you know. Those terms, biological father and biological mother, mean absolutely nothing because of what you said, because father and mother are verbs. It's the person.
Oh, well, now I think you're pulling my leg now.
No, I'm serious. I swear to you.
What do you mean father and mother have? I said that the father suffers postpartum blues the same way the mother does. He's emotionally drained after a birth. I didn't actually say father and mother are interchangeable.
No. What I'm saying is generally speaking, father and mother. They're verbs in the sense of those are the people who are doing the loving, caring, protecting, defending, and providing. Biological mothers.
Well, but they have somewhat different roles. The man cannot give birth to a baby. Do we agree on that, or we have to discuss that?
I totally agree on that.
All right, so there's a difference in roles between a man and woman. I mean, I let's start with the basics, since everyone seems to have forgotten the basics. A man cannot give birth to a baby, despite what the ACLU would probably would like to sue over.
Right.
Okay, and saying, well, they're equal. They're not equal. There's a biological difference between the male of the species and the female of the species. The way it was presented to me by a rabbi many years ago was the father is the house band. He took a phrase husband and changed it to house band. The father puts the band around the house and keeps it together. But that's a separate story. I was talking about the biological, physiological, the biophysiological effects of a childbirth upon the father, which is never, ever discussed. Nobody ever talks about the effects of the gestation period on the father. And the effects upon the father. The mother, of course, bears the largest brunt of those effects. Childbirth is a terribly difficult thing for a woman, and everyone should be prepared for it. It's not the joyous experience everyone's talking about. However, the father also suffers from it, is what I was saying.
Right. And I got that. My point was just that there... The father's role in a children's life must be active. You can't just be a biological father and call yourself father.
Of course not. That today is like a dog. I once knew a so-called poet who was a so-called writer in so-called North Beach of so-called San Francisco, where so-called fake writers live, who sit in so-called cafes pretending they're writing in so-called journals to collect crazy checks. And he said to me, we had a big fight once, and we threw drinks in each other's face in a bar. And he said to me, I'm a father, too, because I had children. He said, I said, you're a father like a dog. I said, all you did was bear a child, your father. I said, a dog is more of a father than you.
That's exactly.
Was I wrong? What kind of father impregnates a woman and leaves and does nothing for her?
That's why I love listening.
That's not a father. A dog sticks around longer than most men today. Thanks for the call. 1-800-449-8255. New York, Joe. Welcome to the Savagination.
Michael, I love you. I love your show, and I think you're terrific. But I don't think everybody's family has deteriorated that much. I have an Italian family. I come from Flushing. I'm not far from Queens College, where you were brought up, and I have three children, and my three children are, you know, like I am, you know, and we're doing okay.
No, I guess I should have defined it a little more clearly. What I was saying was how the popular culture of the Italian people in my day looked up to cultural icons such as opera singers, Mario Lanza going way before my time, Pavarotti a little after my youth, okay? They looked up to cultural icons. They were cultivated, cultured people, even if they were poor. However, today, take a look at what they hold up as role models, Jersey Shore. Don't tell me you look up to those scungeelies, do you?
We don't watch them, you know.
You turn on the TV, I watch Mob Wives once in a while. I do not understand how low-life women like this could be given a television. Talking like they do, punching each other, that's the image today of that's the image today for the Italian people?
Absolutely not.
Well, what I was saying is this is what the culture has become. What they're pushing on the Italian people, Mob Wives, Jersey Shore, and Anthony Weiner now supposed to represent Jews, and then Bernie Madoff. You hear me? That's what I was saying.
But I don't know if that's the whole culture. I think that's the certain part that you're looking at.
So I'll put you on the spot. Name one Italian of any distinction that you can think of in the current time.
I didn't hear you, Michael. Sorry.
Okay, name one Italian of distinction in our time today who you can think of.
Well, to go back to Michelangelo, who was Italian?
No. I didn't say Michelangelo. I'm making my point. You cannot name an Italian of distinction in today's world because the media will not let you know of one. You will not know of the Italian aeronautical engineer or the rocket scientist or the Italian neurosurgeon. You will not know of the great Italian liturgist. You will not know of the great Italian religious figures because the vermin in the media will not let you see them. Instead, they give you the grease balls on Jersey Shore, the pumped up frogs from New Jersey. That's what I'm saying.
You're absolutely right.
Now I'm making my point, and it's the same with Jews. When I grew up, we looked up to men like Jonas Salk as a Jew, right? Jonas Salk were held up. These were the great men. Take a look at what we have today. A swindler like Bernie Madoff and a degenerate like Anthony Weiner. Name another Jew you could think of who's of prominence today in the media. Name one. Name one cultural icon in the Jewish people, amongst the Jewish people. You cannot do it because the scum in the media will not let you see them. That's the point I'm making. Okay, I made my point. I'll be back.
Savage.
Summertime, and the living is easy. Jumping.
Yeah, we're the fish, and we're jumping right into the Chinese net. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Here's a story I just got. China wants to construct a 50-square-mile self-sustaining city south of Boise, Idaho. I'm not making this up. A 50-square-mile self-sustaining city south of Boise, Idaho, run by the Chinese. Oh, they're calling it an economic zone. Buying up pieces of the U.S. They're setting up special economic zones inside this country while you sleep, while you're watching Jersey Shore and Mob Wives and Anthony Weiner shenanigans and Bernie Madoff and the other titillating filth that the degenerates of Hollywood, the degenerates of the media in New York feed you. The sewer pipe of the media puts the pollution into your brain while this country is being taken apart at the joints. 50 square miles, the communists are setting them up all over the country. And the Idaho government is eager to give it to them. China National Machinery Industry Corporation plans to construct a technology zone south of Boise Airport, which would ultimately be up to 50 square miles in size. The Chinese Communist Party is the majority owner of Sinomac. So the 10,000 to 30,000 acre self-sustaining city would essentially belong to the Chinese Communist government. It would include manufacturing facilities, warehouses, retail centers, and large numbers of homes for communist Chinese workers. Basically, it would be a little bit of communist China established right in the middle of the United States of America. And by the way, many of them are being built, these special economic zones. If the Chinese have their way, we will soon be seeing these special economic zones pop all over the United States. I would immediately hold hearings. I would drag Henry Kissinger, Dianne Feinstein, Richard Blum. I would drag anybody who was a known dealer with communist China in front of the U.S. Senate and ask them if they have their fingers on this, if they've profited from it. Madeleine Albright's another one. Sandy Berger is another one who deals with them and makes sure they get their way here by buying off these pimps in Congress. I have no other words for it. Pimps in Congress. Pimps in Congress. I have no other word for it. I'd like to use a more polite word, but you wouldn't have heard me. You wouldn't have heard me. I could use a word like congressman, but it doesn't have any meaning. Pimp in Congress is a better word when you see a thing like this going on. When you see what's going on in this country, when Pil Griffin of MSNBC, Pil Griffin keeps putting degenerates and anti-Americans on MSNBC and gets away with it. Frankly, I cannot wait until MSNBC is taken over by Comcast and they finally put somebody into that company who knows what he's doing. And they get rid of Pil Griffin. And they could put somebody on MSNBC who has an American perspective instead of an internationalist, anti-American, perverted perspective. You heard me. Write it down. Write down every word I just said. I'll live by every word I just said. I cannot wait until Comcast takes over NBC and installs some Americans and gets rid of Pil Griffin, who has destroyed MSNBC, in my humble opinion. When I say the media and the sewer pipe, I'm talking about men like Pil Griffin. Melissa on WOR in New York, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Dr. Savage, thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to make a comment. I've been teaching for over 20 years, New York City Department of Education, and I have to tell you, the media and the Hollywood is the degradation of our young children today. I teach fifth graders, 10-year-olds, who backtalk, who disrespect, and you know who's even worse? It's the girls are worse than the boys.
Much worse, because the girls have been told to be empowered, that if it feels good, do it. Whatever they think they should say, whatever they feel they should do, and whatever they want to say to anybody, they should say.
Well, they look
because self-restraint has gone out the window because of the sewer pipe coming out of Hollywood and the degenerate scum that the girls see on television, they see in the movies. One slut after another, a drunk, a drug addict, lifting a skirt for everything that walks by, that's held up for the children. I would arrest these people. I would arrest the vermin of Hollywood for doing this to this culture. I'd put them in jail for what they've done.
Well, they should be arrested. They should be held accountable. Let me tell you something. Today, 10-year-olds are looking at MTV, VH1, and they're looking at shows like The Bad Girls Club. I don't know if you're familiar with that show.
I don't even want to hear about it because I've seen them in passing. They're getting more degenerate by the day. I've seen one degenerate show after another. They're raising the stakes on degeneracy, where in a few more years we'll see people having sex with animals, and they'll call it a video.
And the bottom line is this. When you call to the parents' attention the behavior of these children, especially the girls, years ago it used to be the parent would say to the child, what did you do to your teacher?
Yeah, now they say to you, how dare you pick on my child? I'm suing.
Yeah, what did your teacher do to you?
I was once a public school teacher in New York. Believe me, I saw it go downhill. I know what you're talking about. I'm not speaking in esoteric land here. I understand your plight. Houston, Texas, Cynthia, next woman up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Michael. Thank you so much for taking my call today.
What's on your mind?
I'm an Italian-American woman. I live in Houston, but I'm from St. Augustine, Florida. My last name is Biancato. Michael, everything you say is so true. Whenever I hear you say the word degenerate, I cannot help but know my father is rolling over in his grave. And while I miss him dearly, I don't think he could hack it. I don't think he could hack it.
So you agree with me when I say that in my time, the poorest of Italians who I knew looked up to opera stars. Take a look at who they look up today. They look up to Guido on The Sopranos.
That's right. You know, my dad, if he were alive today, he wouldn't even allow us to turn on that television.
How could a show like Mob Wives be allowed on television that takes the lowest of the female species, the most uneducated, the most vulgar, the most vile, the least attractive, and they put these lowlives on television to curse each other out, and you wonder why the children are screwed up and need drugs?
Savage.
Enza Fine, Without End. Welcome to the Savage Nation. In many ways, my show is like that, without end. It goes on and on and on and on. People said it wouldn't last a week. Then they said it wouldn't last a month. Then they said it wouldn't last 2 months. Then it wouldn't last 3 months. Then it wouldn't last a year. Here it is 18, 17 years later. Apparently, I'm saying something that the American people agree with. And today I am saying predominantly that because of the vermin in the media who have filled the sewer pipe of the media from Hollywood to New York, wherever the sewer pipe emanates, whether it's Phil Griffin's NBC, it's a sewer pipe. Take a look at who they have on MSNBC. Degenerates and anti-Americans from top to bottom. Now, as I said last week, a pervert can still be a good professional, but a pervert cannot be a good American. MSNBC is an example of that. Virtually everything that comes out of the stooges, the puppets of Phil Griffin, is anti-American, anti-family, anti-church, anti-police, anti-military. Now, I'm going to tie that into a new article that I just found, written by Grace Vuto, that you're not going to believe. You may have heard some of this before, but not like this. Bye-bye, white and black America, make way for Latinos and Asians. The numbers are in. And she goes through the numbers. We heard about minorities are going to take over the country and blah, blah, blah. One out of every six Americans is now Latino. The meteoric rise of the number of Latinos and Asians shocked even demographers who couldn't believe what happened. America's white population dropping like a rock from near 70% in 2000 to 63% in 2010. One out of every six Americans is now Latino, most of them illegal, by the way. A total of 50 million Latinos, up from 35 million in 2000. Asian population increasing to an astounding 43%. Increasing an astounding 43% since 2000. Now, we know all of this. I mean, we sort of know it. If you live anywhere, you've seen this. The question is, why is the black population declining? We know the white population is declining because the white race is committing suicide as a result of the psychosis of the liberal media, the liberal professors who have told them that they're evil, no good. They have a disproportionate amount of wealth. The children picked it up over the years. They won't get married. They won't have children. All they want to do is have sex and lay down like a dirty dog in the streets. And as a result, the Caucasian race is dying out in the U.S. But why are the black people diminishing as a population? Abortion. Very high rate of abortion in black communities. Since 1973, black women have had over 17 million abortions, about 600,000 abortions every year. Why is that happening? So she says when historians examine these statistics, they will ask why the Caucasian population extinguished itself. And she writes the answer. She asks, how did a race that created the finest republic in the history of the world, that's the U.S., eventually find itself in the minority of that very republic? And she says, ironically, it is not white-black antagonism based on the central original national sins of slavery and segregation that have led to this downfall. Instead, she writes, both whites and blacks have failed to reproduce themselves in sufficient numbers to retain their population status. Hence, it was not any loathing of one another, but self-loathing that has been the biggest problem in both groups. And now listen to this. This is so well written. Caucasians in particular have since the 1960s sought a collective punishment for their previous prowess. Many American whites adopted the liberal mantra that preserving one's race is a form of xenophobic chauvinism. Even discussing such a topic is viewed as in and of itself a form of racism. Whites embraced the creed of reducing births and catering less to the needs of the family while simultaneously increasing the number of immigrants. Whites did not bank on the fact that others, Asians and Hispanics, would not be following the same policies of grandiloquent self-destruction and self-abnegation, but would instead simply fill the emerging population vacuum. How do you like that for a story? It's all on michaelsavage.com. Just found it, linked it up, written by Grace Vuto, a very frequent guest on the Savage Nation. Bye-bye, white and black America, make way for Latinos, Asians. And you can thank vermin in the media for doing this to your children. You can thank the sewer pipe of Hollywood. You can thank the sewer pipe of NBC. You can thank the sewer pipe of ABC. You can thank the sewer pipe of CBS for poisoning your children's minds. Mike in New York on WOR. Go ahead, please.
Mike, since you're on the subject of Italian-Americans, I can speak because I'm an Italian-American from New York. We don't look to all this garbage like Sammy Gravano, the Bull's daughter, and all this trash. We have Samuel Alito. justice on the
Supreme Court. All right, now we're talking. Now you see, I provoked somebody to call with Italian role models. Bingo, I respect him. He's a great man. Terrific. Who else do Italians look up to?
General Peter Pace, Joint Chiefs of Staff, Brooklyn, New York. Yogi Berra, General Anthony Zinni, the Godfather, Commander of CENTCOM. These are the people we look up to. We don't look up to this trash, Mike.
But how often have vermin on MSNBC ever referred to Sam Alito in any way other than a derogatory way? How often has Pil Griffin, the psycho who runs NBC, in my opinion, ever shown an Italian who is a positive role model?
They won't do that, Mike, because the real positive role models are Americans through and through. They're born here. We were raised as kids to become Americans. We were told outside.
But, Mike, it's the same with every other culture in the country. The Jews have degenerated in role models from Jonas Salk to Bernie Madoff and Anthony Weiner. Why? Because the vermin in the media want you to see the downfall. The same thing.
Absolutely. Michael,
there are Jewish giants out there. There are Jewish people worthy of looking up to, but you never hear about them because degenerate, sick, drugged-up minds who run the media don't want you to see the role models that are worthy of respect. They want you to see the lowest of the low. The sewer pipe is all I can think of. Their minds are in the sewer. Their minds are not in the gutter. Their minds are in the sewer, and that's all they feed the country. I think I've made my point. I'm in a sweat from it. I made my point. Now we have a president and a first lady. Would you say that they're good role models for African Americans? Of course they are, in the sense that they have risen to the highest office in the land. Yes. But having said that, would you say that Michelle Obama's constant trips on the public dime is a good example of what a person does when they achieve this power? Would you say that Barack Obama's lies as a candidate compared to his policies as a president are a good example for African Americans? The answer is obvious, I think. The answer is quite obvious, by the way. Las Vegas, Tim, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yes, Dr. Savage. I'm actually calling about the what's going on with China, who's basically colonizing America with these special economic zones.
Yes, of course. That's what they're doing. They're putting in Trojan horses around the country, and the states which are bankrupt are only too anxious to sell off their states to communist China piece by piece.
And what they're doing is basically the policy the British used in the 19th century to colonize China. They're basically playing the same game, but on us.
You know, in other words, you're talking about Hong Kong, for example, or a free trade zone in Shanghai?
Yeah, exactly. And basically, by China controlling our trade and as well as controlling our debt, they control us.
Well, you're breaking up, but you're making a good point. I'm glad the listeners can see how knowledgeable I am about these things. Rarely does a listener bring something up where I'm caught flat-footed on it. I see it and I bring it up. I mean, it's summertime. Most people don't have the desire to hear any of this. They don't. You know, it's a Tuesday. It's a June, late June. Most normal people are on a vacation or looking for a vacation, slurping an ice cream cone, whatever. Walking around like a putz, walking around with an ice cream in their mouth, looking at this, looking at that. You see tourists with a camera in there, and everywhere they turn, click, 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 click. I look in San Francisco, I wonder at people. They come from Europe every minute, a camera, an angle. They think that they're Steven Spielberg. They're on their knee looking up with the same digital camera for 99 cents that they bought in the window somewhere in Padua, Italy. Now they're here with the back man looking up. There's a picture of the tower from the bottom. Let me go on the top and look. I'll take one down. There's my husband looking up. And there's one I'm going to go down. There's a guy. Look at the pizza. There's a lettering sign on the building. Let me get that. Now I'm going to go down. Look at that. There's some horse droppings in the street. Oh, that's artistic. Oh, look at San Francisco Bay. There's a ferry going by. Oh, let me take a... Oh, stand over there, honey. I'll take a picture over there. There's the bridge over there. Let's take a picture of you eating the... Take one of me and drinking the martini. Wait, there's another picture. I'll get on my knee. I'll look up. I'll stand on the bench and I'll look down and you'll look up from the bottom of the bench. Then they go back to Padua and no one wants to look at the pictures. Who wants to look at those pictures? They're worthless. They just throw the cameras away. What's the point? Why don't you just be here now? Come here and enjoy something. See something. You don't see anything through a camera. You see nothing through a camera. Nothing. What's the point of running around with something between your eye and reality? Alabama, Janelle, you're on the Savage Nation. Topic, please.
Hi. I'm appalled about what's going on with the whole presidency. I have no idea. But to go to South Africa and then the president going to Ireland, I mean, what gives? Did you not know?
Well, that's what I'm saying. What do you mean Michelle is finding her ancestral roots in South Africa? How does she know where her family came from? Is that possible to know?
I have no idea. I'm African-American, and I have not researched it yet. But the thing is, I mean, did they not want to know all of this before he became president? I mean, why?
Hey, wait a minute. But aside from all of that, let's put aside maybe she is from South Africa, her ancestors, okay? Is that worthy of an expenditure of $17,000 for fuel alone to go over there?
No. I mean, why would you spend that kind of money? And why,
what about her mother on every trip, Mrs. Robinson? Why is she on every trip with her? Do you find that somewhat odd?
Very odd.
I have never in my life heard about a mother-in-law living in the White House. Now, I'm not the world's expert on the presidencies going back to Washington. I do not know of another case where a mother-in-law was on the internal committee of every decision made by a president. What is he, some doofus who needs a mother-in-law telling him what to do?
It doesn't make sense. It's a waste of money.
Well, that's why he plays so much golf. Maybe they decide what goes on in the world. Maybe that's why we're at war in Libya. No one even knows what we're doing in Libya.
I have no idea. But it's
Look, it's exasperating, Janelle. That's the emotion I just heard coming out of you. Exasperation. Am I correct?
Yes, I'm tired.
Yes, I hear exasperation. I think you're tired because you voted for these two and you can't believe what you got.
I can't believe it. It is awful.
You see, I'm not so off the beam here. You know, and I'm glad that you as a black caller and me as a white, you know, talker can at least once in a while agree on something.
Yes, I listen to you.
Well, thank you. That's very nice. See, not everything is divided the way the liberals would like you to believe. They want the whites and blacks to fight. Make no mistake about it. The New World Order liberal vermin who pump out the pollution that runs through the sewer pipes of NBC, the sewer pipes of Paramount, the sewer pipes of DreamWorks, all those sewer pipes are created for a reason. Those sewer pipes pump out this pollution to blindside you so you don't even know what's going on around you. Then you wake up, the country has gone out from under your feet. The Chinese have special trade zones all over the country, Trojan horses established, where there's no law except the law of the communist Chinese. Do you see what's going on in this country? Do you get an idea that they've driven the black against the white and the white against the black? You know, admittedly, I'm from another generation. I'll admit it. I'm not hiding. Am I going to hide who I am? Why should I? What's the hide over? I'm proud of that I got this far. I'm proud that I'm still living. I never thought I'd live this long. I thought I'd be dead already 20 years. I mean, it's a miracle to me. Each day I wake up, it's like, oh, my God. All right, thank you. But another one of these. Whoa. Another long day's journey in tonight. All right, I'll do the best I can. I didn't know I'd be here. I'm still here, but I'll do the best I can. I'll do your work, God, whatever. I'll have a little fun. I'll tell a few jokes. But you look around and you cannot believe the vermin, how high they've come up in this society. You take a look at the rats. The sewer rats have risen to the top of the heap in the media. The sewer rats who create a channel like MSNBC, you never hear a pro-American statement coming out of that channel ever. Not once. Every word out of their mouth, anti-American, anti-family, anti-military, anti-police, anti-white. And this is run by one man named Phil Griffin. Now, I know that NBC was sold to Comcast, and I understand that the owners of Comcast are a little more rational, a little more balanced than this. I'm waiting for the day that they send him on a one-way ticket, send them packing. I've never seen anything like this. I'll be right back.
Savage.
This song goes out to Michelle Obama's mother enjoying a trip to her ancestral homeland. As we speak, we're sweltering here in America. Finances worse than that of Greece, according to experts, but president knows how to party on. First Lady sure doesn't let it interfere with her desires for a good summer. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Savage Nation, heard in New York, Chicago, Houston, Atlanta, Philadelphia, Washington, Boston, Detroit, Miami, Phoenix, Minnesota, San Diego, Denver, Tampa, St. Louis, Baltimore, Portland, Pittsburgh, Riverside, all aboard. Sacramento, Cincinnati, Salt Lake City, San Antonio, Kansas City, Las Vegas. Leaving on the track number 3, Orlando, Austin, Milwaukee, Indianapolis, Providence, Norfolk. Nashville, Greensboro, Jacksonville, Oklahoma City, Memphis, Hartford, all aboard. All aboard on the Savage Nation. Those are the top 50 stations thus far. There are approximately 250 or more in addition to that. So don't think that I, as vocal as I get, or as excitable as I am, don't have a laser-like mind who can cut through the fog and tell you exactly what it is and what's going on. I do, and I have an audience to back it. And when I said today, I would say if I had a take-home message thus far today, with all of the histrionics and the loud and the low and the this and the fun, I said fundamentally a few things that you should remember. One of which, let's talk about physiologically, a young father called, and I said, you should be prepared for the fact that you are going through the birth on a minor scale the way your wife is, and that you're going to suffer through postpartum depression, but no doctor knows that. Very few will ever tell you that, and very few know what to do for you. And I suggested you read Healing Children Naturally, because I have a whole chapter on getting pregnant and also on a diet for pregnant women, a diet for after you give birth. Men's nutrition is very important during this period because your stress level is through the roof. People say, I don't need it. I'm a tough guy. You're wrong. You're wrong. You're not living 200 years ago where you were surrounded by people in a village, your family, and they took care of each other. The woman was cared for the whole pregnancy by the relatives and during childbirth and afterwards, giving nurturing support and nutritious foods. Today, take a look. They give them Pop-Tarts in the hospital. That's what they know about nutrition. Pop-Tarts are a sugary drink. The child winds up as addicted to sugar as a crack baby used to wind up in the 80s, addicted to cocaine. But you wouldn't know that because the doctors don't know this. They're not trained to understand it. They're geniuses, many of them, in what they do know, but they do not know much about a field they know a lot about. That's one thing. Then I talked about the sewer pipe of the media coming out of New York, and I emphasized one in particular, in my opinion, NBC, and how degenerate it's become under Phil Griffin, who has debased and degenerated the entire network, in my estimation. It's not that I have a personal vendetta against him. I don't know the man. I once had a show on MSNBC. I met him a few times. I like the guy. I am talking about this channel, MSNBC, and I'm calling it a sewer pipe because the filth that comes out of that station is inevitably every day the same thing. Anti-American, anti-family, anti-military, anti-police, anti-church, anti-man and woman, anti-white. There is not a day that goes by that the mantra of MSNBC is not such. And I said that I know that NBC was purchased by Comcast, and I'm looking for the day that they kick him out and they put an American and an America-loving man in his place. And I stand by those words. Then I talked about the sewer pipe out of Hollywood and how every movie, almost without exception, poisons the mind of America. And then I talked about Italian-American people, Jewish people, and I said, take a look at the country we're living in, whereas when I was a boy, Italians I knew who were poor looked up to cultural icons such as opera singers. And take a look at what they have today. Jersey Shore they have, Mob Wives they have. That's what they hold up now as role models for Italian children. Vermin like that, uneducated louts of the lowest order. Uneducated of the lowest order, louts without any saving grace. You never see a show talking about Mario Lanza or Michelangelo, whatever. Go back as far as you want. Never do you see a show about that. Or rarely you could. But now take a look at their Mob Wives. Yeah? One loudmouth woman after another. They look like, or Jersey Shore, you hear? The lowest of the low scum that they could find in the streets of New Jersey, they held up for your children to look. Why? Again, the sewer pipe. The minds behind the sewer pipe are who I am focusing on. They ought to thank God I never went into politics. One of the things I would do if I ever went into politics, I'd hold hearings on the media, and I'd bring back censorship boards. Day one, I'd bring back censorship boards to get control of the sewer pipe, polluting the minds of America's children.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Here are the questions for the Savage Nation today. Do you believe the Republican Party is too liberal, too conservative, or just right? As a conservative, which magazines do you actually enjoy reading? The American Conservative, The Weekly Standard, The New American, The American Spectator, The National Review. As a conservative, which websites do you go to every day? MichaelSavage.com, Drudge Report, WorldNetDaily.com. Which ones? Here are some notes for the Savage Nation. Anthony Weiner's in-laws are said to have secret Muslim brotherhood and Muslim sisterhood connections. Did you know that? Huh. Huma Abedin, deputy chief of staff to Hillary Clinton and Rep. Anthony Weiner's wife, has been revealed by an Arabic newspaper to have major connections to the Muslim Brotherhood and Al-Qaeda. It's on MichaelSavage.com, as is this story. Senator John Kerry and Senator John McPayne, used to be known as McCain, I've called him McPayne, John McPayne in the butt, and Kerry are moving to authorize Obama's illegal Libya war. Senators John Kerry and John McPayne have introduced a resolution giving Obama explicit authorization to continue his illegal war against Libya. Will this affect the other two wars and humanitarian missions we're involved in? Do you think Congress understands what we're trying to accomplish in Libya? I don't. By the way, is Libya a direct threat to the United States' national interests? And here's what's on MichaelSavage.com right now. Top left, incredible picture. You can't miss it. Mandela makes rare public appearance and visit with Michelle Obama. That's right. The meeting took place at Mr. Mandela's home in Johannesburg as part of the so-called First Lady's week-long trip to South Africa and Botswana. On your dime, by the way. Having another summer vacation, are you, Michelle? You, your mother, and your children? What's this all about? Have you ever seen a first lady abuse the office like this? Have you? Can you imagine a first lady doing this other than Michelle and getting away with it? Of course not. Top writer Michael Savage. Kerry McPayne want to authorize Obama's illegal Libya war. Sheriff says why more troops at the Korean border than the United States? I've asked that for years. Scholars say Obama evaded legal rules on Libya. Duh. Obama's eyeing an anti-gun backer to run the Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms Organization. A professor ran a prostitution website. He got caught and said it's only a hobby. Read all about it on MichaelSavage.com. Maine takes pride in medical pot. Gingrich's money team has now jumped ship. Here's the question, really. Did Obama purposely run assault rifles into Mexico in order to crack down on the Second Amendment? You betcha. McCain says evidence shows illegals behind Arizona wildfires and the illegal lobbies are saying he's racist for saying that. Go, John, go. Former Hillary intern becomes porn star. Do-do-do-do-do-do. Alabama enacts nation's strictest anti-illegals law, and the illegal ACLU says it will sue to try to overturn the law since it's a law unto itself. How could we live in a nation where the ACLU is more powerful than Congress? Answer, because we have no Congress. Celebrity settles herpes lawsuit for millions. It's an A-list man, picked up an A-list tourist, gave him herpes, settled for $5 million. Who's the A-list man? Who cares? Here's very good news. What do you call them? Class action thieves? Class action lawyers? Well, they just lost a major lawsuit against Walmart. Thank God. They lost the largest sexual discrimination lawsuit ever filed. I only hope that they're put in jail. Obama's assault on free speech. Don't miss the article. It's on my website. Girl 9 used as human bomb. Whoa. Wow. 4 shot dead at Long Island Pharmacy. It's frightening what a man will do for drugs. He killed a poor girl working there, 17 years old. 2 other customers and a pharmacist. It's frightening. Man robs bank of a dollar to get health care in jail. You betcha. Bicycle gangs take over roads, causing injuries to 11 of their own. You know how they block the road and then say, whoops. Atheists want sign honoring 9/11 firefighters removed. I say go to hell to the atheists. All this and more on the best website in the land, michaelsavage.com. So look how we're talking about a subject like this, where I see on television a psychologist is saying that all these sex scandals, they're sex addicts, they're hypersexual, it's a sexual disorder. They're going to call it hypersexual disorder and put it into the DSM. And I'm saying, this can't be so. This is social engineering. Of course there are addictions related to sexuality. We know that. But just because a man has a high sex drive doesn't mean he's sick and suffering from a hypersexual disorder that should be in a DSM, because it's the road to society, again, controlling your sexuality by medicating you, for example, or saying that you need to go into therapy. And this is, again, social control, which, as you well know, I drastically oppose. I fear social control at every level. I was speaking today again to someone, and I said, you know, if you analyze my politics, if you really analyze Michael Savage's politics, they're not really different than the classic liberalism of the 1960s. When you analyze that, or classic, they call it libertarianism. What does my philosophy really boil down to? Which is, leave me alone. Don't tell me what to think. Don't tell me what to do. Don't legislate what I can do. Don't tax me to death, and don't give me red tape to death. That's really my philosophy. So now they put me in a box already. I'm a right winger. So how is it that the left wingers of today want big government? They want government regulation of every aspect of your life. They want high taxation. They want government, the red tape wherever you turn. They want to control what you say, what you think, and what you do. So does that make them liberals? No, they're not liberals. They're not progressives, people who think that way. They're the opposite of what they say they are. So don't be deceived. Buyer beware. You know what I mean? Caveat emptor. Buyer beware. You're not buying liberalism if you fall into that school. You're buying some form of totalitarianism, which is why I oppose Obama's Marxism. Chicago, Scott, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, I want to talk about transferring sexual energy. I'm 35. A couple of years ago, I tried to count how many women I've been with, and I was thinking it was about 450. I know I had like 100 and some after college, but by the time I was through college. And it kind of shocked me. So I found a book, something about Write Your Feelings. So I get to the bottom of it, and I ended up writing a book I'll never get published. But
right.
To me, it's a brilliant book. I'm not going to publish it.
450. You're saying, you're writing the book, or you read the book?
I wrote it. I wrote a book kind of you've written a book. You know how very cleansing writing is.
I've written 28 books. I've been writing since I'm 16 years old in one form or another. It is absolutely one of the greatest outlets for an active mind. But are you still driven the same way towards women?
No. After I kind of found something writing that story, that book, it being about 300 pages on my computer. And
What a loss you are to the women of Chicago, though. They don't know which way.
I doubt it. But
450 women, man, that's a lot of notches in the belt. But the next time you run into an old friend who's trying to tell you that you went down the wrong road because you got married and you stayed faithful and you raised children and you have children and or grandchildren, and he was the wild one, all you got to do is not get mad, just smile at him and say, really, Morris, all that sex and no children, how sad. And believe me, you will make your point. Well, I don't know how we got here, but sometimes you wind up where you don't intend to go, and I think we wound up in a good place together. I'm starting to sound like a touchy-feely therapist now, but I'm going to say something to you that most therapists say at the conclusion of a session, which is, I'm afraid the time is up. This is the Savage Nation.
Savage.
New York, Zach, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Michael, I would like to offer you my indentured servitude.
You're pulling my leg. You must be a progressive blogger, huh?
I'm 23. I'll give you 7 years. When I'm 30, I'll start a family.
Hey, don't laugh. I might take you up on it. But I would never take you as a servant. I would have to pay you. I don't believe in abusing or exploiting any worker ever. Ever. Everybody needs to be paid fairly. What do you think you could learn by working for me for 5 years?
Analytical skills.
I'm sorry, Zach, I missed it. Zach, what skills?
Analytical skills.
Analytical skills. Oh, very interesting. I would have thought you would have said how to be a writer or a famous broadcaster. You want to learn how to think.
I can think, but there's something you have that is, it's a power, it's a passion, and, you know, I love it, and it gives me...
That's beautiful, Zach. Do you have... I'm not asking a silly question. We're on the radio now, but I'll do this openly on an open mic. Do you have a family in New York?
Yeah, I have family in New York and Israel.
But you don't want to just leave a family and move to the West Coast, do you?
Mike, I see no hope in the country. And, you know, I want to give back. And, you know, I feel like after you retire, who is there? You know, that guy who filled in. I want to learn from you. I want to be the next Michael Savage.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, that's interesting. So you want to go under my wing and you want my tutelage and you hope the main thing you'll learn is how to think analytically. Now, let me talk about that for a minute. It's a very interesting question. No one's actually ever raised it. How do you come to that ability, the hard ability to analyze things and come up with the right conclusion? First of all, you need good tutelage. My father was uneducated. He never went past, I think, the ninth grade. I don't really know. But he had a very strong will and a very smart mind. He was an immigrant who came here with nothing. And he didn't wind up a very wealthy man. In fact, he was lower middle class, bought a house, paid for it, and never owed anybody a dime. To me, that means he died a very rich man. You know, as it is said in the writings of the elders, who is a rich man? He who is satisfied with his lot. So I would say that in certain ways, that regard, he was a rich man. But let's put that aside. He taught me how to think. He would yell at me if I didn't think correctly. He would not let me off the hook in any of his discussions with me. He would force me to answer my own questions, mainly, Zach. If I'd say, Dad, why does the moon block the sun occasionally? He would say, think about it. He would never answer the question. Now, unless you have certain facts to work with, you can't think about it, right?
Of course.
So then you need to rudimentally understand how the sun is fixed in heaven, how the moon moves around the earth, and how the earth moves around the sun, right?
Of course.
And once you go to the Hayden Planetarium, as we did in New York when I was a kid, and you see all of that wonderful movement, you can then come back and say, Dad, I found that how come the moon blocks the sun in a lunar eclipse. You know what I mean?
100%.
It's the same thing with politics. It's not much different. Once you understand what the parameters are of what we are facing, that this is a nation that was built on individualism, not on statism, not on the centralization of power, but on the strength of the individual, you realize we've come to the end of the cycle and that we're actually very lucky to have had a communist elected president in the United States at this time. I actually was thinking about saying that all day today, but I'm going to say it today in honor of Palm Sunday. We're very lucky that Barack Obama was made president because America can finally see the devastation that a communist brings to office. And we've only seen not even the half of what this man is going to do to us unless the Republicans get their act together. Zach, what is it you think you could do for me?
Besides cleaning your floors and...
No. Hey, no, Zach. I'm not using you as a housekeeper. I have a housekeeper. I don't need a housekeeper. What is it you really think you could do for me?
What I could do for you is learn from you and spread your teachings, because...
Well, you said learn from me. That's not doing anything for me. You could listen to my show and learn from me.
Michael, you need your legacy to be spread. You're 70, and I'm 23.
I'm not 70. Don't add years to my age. I have not yet had my 3 score and 10. No, sir.
I'm just afraid that after you, who is there? I don't see anyone. And you know,
I'll answer the question very simply. Après moi, le déluge. You know what that means?
No.
See, I had a classical education, even though I was a proletariat from a poor family. I had a first-class education that exceeds that of graduate school at Harvard today. Just my 4 years at Queens College was better than 8 years at Harvard, I can guarantee you. Anyone who has a PhD from Harvard in political science didn't get as much as I did from 4 years as an undergraduate at Queens College. I had to learn French. I had to learn two languages to get a bachelor's degree. Would you believe it? Anyway, so I read all of the French greats in college. I can't speak French very well, but I remember I used to love the epigrams of some of the great French writers and philosophers of the 17th and 18th centuries. And, of course, who wrote Après moi le déluge, after me the deluge? Who wrote that? Does anyone know the answer to that? You'll win a free copy of Trickle Up Poverty. Zach, for your sake, do you have a job right now?
What?
Do you have a job right now?
Yes, I do. I export used items to Africa.
So you have a job.
Yeah, I do really well, and I also have a family real estate business. But
so what the heck do you want to go waste your time sitting and listening to me for? Why don't you just listen to the show, read my books, and get a discussion group going with some friends in New York? Is it hard to find people to talk to?
It's impossible.
Impossible. That's the truth. Well, now I know you'd be a good disciple. Now that's the best answer I've heard thus far. So you have no friends. That's the first requirement to work for me, is that you have to have no friends. It means that there's a chance that we could have a meaningful conversation. Maybe you'll be the first member of my cult, Zach. Do you want to do that?
Yes, I will.
And you could distribute the Kool-Aid downstream. We could buy an island, and you could be my chief Kool-Aid dispenser.
I can buy the sneakers, too.
The Hale-Butt people, what were they wearing when they went to heaven?
I'm guessing Nikes.
Tell you what we're going to do, Zach. I'm not going to hire you quite yet, but they will get Zach's email and we'll get into a conversation. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Waleed Shobhat is a former Muslim and PLO member. That's right. And he's uncovered shocking information about Hillary Clinton's deputy chief of staff, Huma Abedin. You may also know her as the wife of the disgraced Representative Anthony Weiner. Waleed is here to tell us how Huma Abedin, the wife of Anthony Weiner, has ties to the Muslim Brotherhood and Al-Qaeda. Waleed, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Michael, it's great to be with you today.
What did you find out about Anthony Weiner's wife, Huma Abedin, and her mother?
Well, it's a very interesting question that really mandates an answer. Because many will think that Huma Abedin's mother, being a member of the Muslim Brotherhood, which was founded by a dastur in Egypt, plus Egyptian experts pointed it out, with 63 members in 13 different countries, of one of the names that was listed was Huma's mother, Saliha Mahmoud Abedin, in which the question I pose to anyone that wants to say that this is simply guilt by association is that it's impossible to have a member of the Muslim Brotherhood to not denounce having been married out of the faith, being unequally yoked, marrying a male Jew, and she being a female Muslim. No one can find any example like this except Huma Abedin. The question is, why is her family silent about it? And the Muslim Brotherhood itself, which Huma Abedin's mother is a member of, is silent about it. The answer is, there's only two answers. Either Huma Abedin has a higher calling, or Anthony Weiner simply converted to Islam.
Well, what is the Muslim Sisterhood?
The Muslim Sisterhood is an organization that has been recognized by the Muslim Brotherhood, initiated by the Muslim Brotherhood. In fact, the Muslim Brotherhood's own website, people could read my article in Pajamas Media, confirms the existence of the Sisterhood organization. It started off as a spy activity in which women were less searched by security. So they were smuggling letters and things and documents, but then evolved later on to establish 63 members to infiltrate women's groups in the United Nations, in women arenas all over the world, globally in Europe, to fight for hijabization, to spread the ideals of the Muslim Brotherhood, and infiltrated in 13 different countries. The list is very well established and has even members of the Sisterhood organization in the United States of America itself. Let's not forget, we had just Abdullah Nahshan, which is, he's a supervisor for the sisterhood, that was exiled from the U.S. recently for involvement in terroristic groups, and as well as have defrauded the government with passports and things of that sort.
Doesn't Huma's brother work at Oxford University in England?
Absolutely. In fact, her brother adds more to the case. Why is he not speaking out and condemning his sister for marrying out of the faith, especially he sits on the board with the Oxford University Center for Islamic Studies. And on that board with him is the notorious Sheikh Al-Qaradawi, Sheikh Yusuf Al-Qaradawi, who permits suicide bombings and also very well affiliated with his promotion of terrorism, sits on the same board, alongside also with Omar Nassif, the notorious Muslim godfather of Al-Qaeda, sits with Huma's brother. You know, the argument is that it's like getting Eva Braun, the mistress of Adolf Hitler during World War II, to say, well, it's okay, she can work for the State Department. This becomes a very major issue that the U.S. should be looking at regarding national security.
How did Huma Abedi manage to get a security clearance to work at the State Department? Or is that an oxymoron? It's which state and which department?
Well, I don't think she needed a security clearance. I think that Hillary Clinton has always supported the idea of basically engaging the Muslim Brotherhood. The current policy is to engage the Muslim Brotherhood. There is a U.S. Islam engagement started by Madeleine Albright, in which members of the Muslim Brotherhood were involved in it, including Faisal Abdul Rauf, the imam behind the Ground Zero Mosque, who notoriously in the Arabic language does double speak and talks about his support for terrorism in the Arabic. In the English language, he talks about having interfaith dialogue. So this attempt by the State Department to conduct interfaith dialogue with the enemy has allowed the enemy to masticize itself and to cover and cocoon itself as a viable entity, and by that entered into the strength of America, including having Hillary Clinton going to Dar al-Hikmah University in Jeddah to speak alongside Huma's mother, the member of the Muslim Brotherhood, and Suhair Qureshi, who her name also was established in Al Jazeera, in Al-Masri, in Dostur, as a member of the Sisterhood organization, the affiliate of the Muslim Brotherhood. There's Hillary Clinton knowing these things, no problem, still goes there and speaks. Of course, let's not forget, it was Hillary Clinton that stopped the ban of Tariq Ramadan, the grandson of Hassan al-Banna, entry to the U.S. He's permitted to enter into the U.S. Under this current administration. It was Bill Clinton who gave the green light for Fethullah Gulen, the Turkish escapee who was wanted in Turkey for trying a coup, and Bill Clinton gives him the green light and promotes him. And in fact, Gulen, in his Turkish language, talks about how to infiltrate the system, how to enter into the arteries of the system undetected, how to build a spider web. All these conspiracies have been well established when it comes to the Islamist movement, yet us bringing this issue out seems to label us as basically doing guilt by association. No, it's not guilt by association. There is tremendous evidence to support this ironclad case.
Do you believe Wiener's wife serving in the position that she does constitutes a breach of national security?
Well, she's serving, and especially when Hillary Clinton talks in the Dar al-Hikmah, talking about Huma and saying that Huma has works for her in sensitive issues and, you know, secret issues. That's been declared even in Saudi Arabia. So her connection to her family will simply leak information that are sensitive, especially when she was married to Anthony Weiner, a senator, and having an ear to the State Department, knowing all the secrets. Of course, it is very easy for her to leak those sensitive information. And by far, we need to question why has there been no separation from Huma to the Muslim Brotherhood family? There has been no condemnation by the Brotherhood family towards Huma, especially that she is married unequally yoked. This is something unheard of in the Middle East, to have an acceptance of something of that sort, unless Huma Abedin has a higher calling.
Well, Waleed, do you believe it's possible that his wife knew about Wiener's compromised situation and was exploiting that to get information that she normally wouldn't have access to?
Well, no one knows for certain what information she got from Anthony Weiner or what the case is. What we do know is that Wiener has tendencies to basically have sympathies towards Islam. He fasted Ramadan with his wife, so he could have sympathies towards her cause. And of course, a woman can obtain information in many other ways. So it is very likely that Huma Abedin does know sensitive information, especially that we know from top officials that work with the Clintons that say that Huma Abedin answers the phone day and night and is always the closest associate of Hillary Clinton and is with her continuously all the time for days on days.
I've predicted that Huma Abedin could run for his office, for his seat, actually. Do you think that she could?
That's a very good question, that Huma Abedin will run for office, because even in the Arabic media, there has been reports of Huma Abedin issued press releases to talk about how the Clintons will basically help her into entering into the political arena. In fact, Michael, the Middle East has already addressed Huma's higher calling long ago. Take Dr. Mu'min Muhammad during 2008, who's a reporter in Syria. He wrote about Huma's aspirations and that she vowed to stay with Hillary, even if the later, you know, Hillary Clinton, that is, to lose the presidential nomination to Obama. And I quote, translated from the Arabic, what this article says. Abedin assures in press releases her continuance on the path with Hillary Clinton, even if Clinton failed as a candidate. The candidate's aides and other influential figures in the Democratic Party assures that they do not disregard Abedin running for election or taking her position in the political arena by the help and successive political administrations with the aid of the Clinton family itself. So this is basically the consensus of the Arabic Middle Eastern media. Westerners need to start basically tuning into what is said in the Arabic about Huma Abedin, the family, the connection to the Muslim Brotherhood, Huma's inspiration. What is a known fact in the Middle East on the streets is hardly even discussed about this whole case. The only thing the media wants to discuss in this case is the sexual issues about her husband, when in reality we need to focus about the national security issues.
Is the Muslim sisterhood really as bad as the Muslim Brotherhood?
Yes, in fact, it's even worse, because it could enter into areas in the United Nations and the government offices under the guise of doing women's activities, women's rights issues. The sisterhood list includes wives of the top Muslim Brotherhood leaders. From Egypt, we have Najla Ali Mahmoud, just to give you one simple example out of the 63. She is the wife of Muhammad Eid al-Masri, who is a member of the Guidance Bureau of the Muslim Brotherhood and the current leader of the Justice and Freedom Party. The Muslim Brotherhood just changed its name in Egypt to be called the Justice and Freedom Party, the new name for the Muslim Brotherhood. So what is this leader? Just to give you an example, what is this leader of Justice and Freedom, the Muslim Brotherhood, that is saying these days under the new guise of moderation? We have libraries really to fill. He is talking about how to ban even the statues that exist in Egypt. He is talking about the Americans, why that no person with the right faculty can believe in the Trinity. In other words, all Americans, all Christians are crazy people. It's a very Naziistic kind of aspiration. You have women on the sisterhood list who are professors of a French civilization, who can be seen on Al Jazeera talking about how the Pope is conspiring to kill all the Muslims throughout the world, how the Pope and the Vatican wants to basically Christianize the entire globe by the year 2000, and so on and so forth. You have spies on the Sinai Peninsula spying at Israeli movements, military movements. You have all sorts of women advocacy groups, doctors. I began to do a detailed investigative on the issues on the list itself to show, with links to the Muslim Brotherhood websites itself, with their aspirations and their detailed plans and all these things. This has never been published anywhere in the U.S. media, which we should be doing very shortly.
Waleed Shobat, thanks for being with us on The Savage Nation.
Michael, thank you for having me on the show.
This is The Savage Nation.
Savage.
the heck does the word senior mean? I'm a senior. 33 seniors, like that's somehow a noble position to be in. You know, seniors were once juniors. They were once ordinary people. Some were good, some were bad, some were totally rotten through the core. Evil, some were good. What do you think, because you hit a certain age, suddenly you become sacred? What sanctimonious garbage this is. 33 seniors each to pay $6,000 more in health. They should pay $10,000 more in health. So they have less money to go to Atlantic City. Less money to sit with the quarters and the cigarette dangling out of their mouth on the gambling buses that turn over every other day. They're all suffering, the seniors, the poor seniors. Seniors, every senior's a saint. They're living like they never lived before. Some of them go to doctors like it's an entertainment for them. Medical entertainment. Medical entertainment. When you have free medicine, you take it. Let's say you don't work for a living and you're a senior. You don't work for a living and you're a senior. And the communist government gives you as much medical care as you ask for or demand for. Because the shyster lawyer has made it so that you have to get the care that you demand. Monday, you go and see the octologist. Tuesday, you go and see the proctologist. Wednesday, you go see the loxologist. Thursday, you go see the pikeologist. And on Friday, you go see the loxologist again to see what the results were. That doesn't include lab visits, free pharmaceuticals, and whatever else you can grift out of the system. Seniors, my behind. I'm sick of this. I'm sick of it. Half of them are on medications they don't need that makes them even sicker. 8 medications a day. I went into a myself. I'm lucky so far. See, I'm very lucky. It's not that I didn't stuff my mouth with strawberry shortcake. It's that I'm lucky, you hear? I'm lucky. Not that I denied eating garbage all my life or that I didn't smoke cigarettes. Okay? I'm lucky because I bicycle every day. I'm lucky. You ever see the slobs in the doctor's offices, the seniors, walking around looking like tanks with the fat hanging off their behind? Seniors. I see them in these resort towns. You could puke looking at them. Where do you think obesity comes from? The air? It's not catching. It's from being a slob. That's where obesity comes from. 8 medications. I go to the emergency room last year. The doctor always says, what medications are you on? Well, while the doctor's facing the wall, they don't look at you, you know. The new breed of doctor, they don't look at you. They look at the wall of a chart. You're sitting there shivering in a gown, and the doctor, Mr. Stethoscope, is staring at the wall. Let's see, Mr. Sandman, what medications are you on? None. They turn their head around. How could you not be on any medication? You're over 60. Because I'm not. I don't take any. I have vitamins. They don't believe me. Average American, 7-8 medications. How many billions of dollars a month does that cost for unnecessary drugs that not only don't help them, but in many cases hurt them? How many? Anyone analyze the cost of that? I've given you 2 ideas now that the great president hasn't thought of because he doesn't live in the real world. He is an academic Marxist, so he doesn't know the real world. I'm like Steppenwolf. I've been through many careers, so I know an awful lot about a lot of things. And I'll tell you a few things right now. You close the emergency rooms across America to non-citizens, maybe $100 billion a year would be saved across America. You put a highway patrolman in every emergency room. No citizenship, no emergency room, except in catastrophic illness. Sorry, we're not treating sniffles today, okay? No sniffles treated today. No colds. This is not a primary care facility. And if you don't like it, go back to your country of origin. We can't afford it. We can't afford it anymore. That's $100 billion a year. That's a starter, isn't it? Then cut back on the unlimited visits by oldsters to doctors. Make them pay $25 a visit, and you'll see how many of them suddenly get better. You'll see they don't have to see the loctologist on Monday, the proctologist on Tuesday, the herringtologist on Wednesday, the livertologist on Thursday, and the laboratory on Friday. Portland, Daniel, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, you're so right on to the point. I wanted to give you an example where I came from. I came from China 19 years ago. Like you said, there is nobody that time was rich. So guess what? Everybody's salary is 36 yuan a month.
Mm-hmm.
And who is he going to tax from any rich? Because there was no rich left.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's taking from everybody, average people. People mm-hmm. work at the 7-Eleven. So yeah. those people will be the ultimate victim of his Marxist
yes. system. Daniel, let me ask you something. As a man from China, with the mixture of socialism and capitalism in China, there's an enormous wealthy class in China today, correct?
Yes, sir.
And what is the tax rate on the wealthy in China?
The tax rate on the wealthy is about 40%, sir.
It is 40%?
Yes, sir.
40%. So Obama's copying the communist Chinese in the percent that he would like to tax the wealthy here.
Yes, sir.
He wants to raise it from 30. He wants to raise it from about 36 to 39%. Is approximate the same exact tax rate as communist China. Do they also pay state taxes in China in addition to federal?
No, just the federal taxing.
Ah, so the 40% is it? There's not another 10% as in the criminal state of California.
No.
What is your state tax in Oregon? It was just raised, wasn't it?
Yes, sir. It's about 8 and 9% now.
Sure, they have a huge welfare class, don't they, in Oregon?
Yes, sir. And the people like me, I'm paying for 20 people who I don't even know.
Yeah. Well, look, I'm going to fight communism with the last breath that I have because I know what it's done to the world. 100 million people died as a result of this distorted, sick philosophy. And just when we should have elected a naked capitalist, we elected a naked Marxist and put him into the White House. And this is what we're getting now.
Savage.